Hi everyone, we're here at Hope Chapel. It's a Wednesday afternoon and I'm here with Hannah who's on the computer, and you might hear the tap 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 of stonemasons on the roof, and they're doing some great stuff on the masonry on the building. And we've had the food bank here this morning and Hope on Wednesday here this afternoon. So we're actually taking a pause this week. We're on this series going through John, and we're looking at who is Jesus as we see in the book of John. And we're taking a pause on that because we'd like to share with you our plans for the kind of return to gather church once COVID restrictions are over. So that's the kind of plan for today, is to sketch those out to you, and then we're going to return to our series looking at John. So it's been a weird 2 years, as everyone said 1,000 times, and I think for some people it's just been a horrible time. For some people, it's been fairly positive, and it's been rest. That's obviously been mixtures of both of those. But then for everyone, it's been, for us as Christians, it's been a real opportunity to relook at church. What does it mean to follow Jesus in community with other people? How do we do that? And it's been a chance to really, you know, start from scratch almost. There was someone I heard say recently that the best way to learn to play chess is to take the queen off the board. That's the most powerful character, or whatever you call it, piece on the board. And so if you can play chess well without the queen, your whole game gets better. And they said that the Sunday gathering, the Sunday service, is like the queen for church. And so we've been without the queen on our board for a time. And we've been seeking God as elders, as pastors, about what the return should look like. And so talk you through that, starting really by looking at some of the sort of rationale for how, and the principles for how we go about making this decision, considering this, and then at the end, going to sketch out what we're thinking of for Sunday, for our Sunday gatherings, and that would be to implement from September. As always with this, we love to hear what God is saying to us as a whole church. This is a kind of a bringing together of things that we felt God say through to us directly and through the church family over these last 18 months. I'd like to start off with kind of looking at the lens of Hope's four dreams. And these dreams were discerned, heard by the people who started Hope about 21 years ago now. And they've given us a focus and showed us kind of our place within the city, the jigsaw of the wider church. And they've been so helpful. And we've a number of times over the years, we've gone back to God and said, are these dreams still, you know, your call on us? And we've felt yes consistently. So looking at Hope through these four dreams, and I want to particularly beam in on two of the dreams because they've been, we think, sort of shaped and honed by COVID, probably more so than the other two. All of the dreams are equally important. But just want to start off with on the dream that we're a church that children love. I don't know if you get any images coming to your mind of that, but part of Hope, it's always been a church that's been aimed to be fun and brought children at the centre. We've done that through them having breakfast. There were times when it would be the adults would leave the service time and the children would have the run of the space. We expect the children to hear God's voice, to be able to pray for and minister to adults. Equally, we don't look to just send them away so that we can have some grown-up time. We're keen to really invest in children because we know that that's a real priority for Jesus. And so that dream has been so important. And what's been interesting through the pandemic is that it's shown us the significance and the importance really of the home, the family household. In terms of the growth and the children knowing and following Jesus, we've seen over the history of Hope as they've moved into their teenage years haven't gone on in their faith, and we're aware that the teenage years, the young years, are a critical time when many people make decisions to become Jesus, become followers of Jesus. They're really important times. And so I think part of what the pandemic has shown us, speaking from Alice and my perspective in our own family, is that we realized that there are whole ways in which we didn't connect with our children spiritually, that we were kind of forced to through the constraints of of just be not having a gathered church setting. And that there were relational challenges within that, and it wasn't easy, but there's been some richness that's come through it. And I think a recognition that we can't simply expect that our children going to church for an hour or two a week will be enough for them to really discover who Jesus is, discover who they are, know how to follow God and make that choice from a place of, from immersion. So I think I think that word immersion is quite a good, maybe overview word for this sense of what the return from COVID looks like for us as a church. So we've got some friends called Mo and Chriselle Calladine who have helped us and sort of coached us as a church in the past. And their children now are in their sort of mid-20s. They've three children all left home. And we've been really impressed with the way that they have grown up and the way the children have become. And we've learned so much from watching them do family life. A fair bit of it actually isn't in my style and things that I would necessarily feel able to do. But regardless of that, I've been inspired and learned stuff from them. And we've actually asked them to come and do a kind of a course with us at Hope, teaching some of these ways of doing family life, so that we can explore them and do them together. And this is designed to be for any type of family setup, all different shapes and sizes. And alongside that, we want to also look at what can we do as a church community beyond our Sunday gatherings in terms of creating this community that helps children to grow up to really know and love and follow God. And some examples here. So what Mao and Chriselle have done for many years is they've had number of festivals through the year that they celebrate as a family. So things like Burns Night, things like Passover before Easter each year. They do Martin Luther King Day when they look at dreams, what the dreams that they have. And they have these festivals punctuating through the year. And over time, I think they've been, each child and each adult maybe has been allowed to bring two or three guests to each one. And the way I hear about it is that the kids' friends at school would be sort of fighting and saying, "Hey, please, can I come to your next whatever it is festival?" And these would be sort of meal times immersed with fun and all sorts of stuff where they teach and bring in some kingdom patterns and values. I think, for example, on New Year's Day, they have a family tradition whereby they go to a certain bridge. They live near Keynsham. Maybe it's over there. Certain bridge, and they write on the bridge the things that they may be sad about over the last year. And they throw them on one side of the bridge, and it's a kind of a saying goodbye and then they have other ways that they process their hopes and desires for the following year. We got invited once to a Burns Night that they had there. So we got to experience a bit of this. So we've asked them, could you help us as a church to consider, are these festivals things that we integrate into our families in ways that will help, create these households of fun, of community, and of places where we follow God together, places we can invite others in who don't know Jesus. They also, alongside the festivals theme, they have kind of rites of passage. So they really celebrate, for example, a girl's first period, and they in an appropriate way, they celebrate that coming of age. Same thing with boys and their first shave. They have a certain milestone when children have a bank account. And so, again, we've asked them to come and share some of this stuff with us so that we can consider what might be appropriate for our own settings and actually make a plan. So it could be whether children are currently, you know, babies or whatever, or teens, whatever the age, there's an intentionality that we can have about how we invest in our children and whether they're youth or, you know, whatever age they are, that we're asking Mao and Chriselle to come and help us to shape. At the same time, we'd love to look at what things can we do as a wider church community, you know, as part of the growing up of children within this dream of we want to be a church that children love. So could we do like a church mission trip every other year, for example? And that would be something that we aim to support each child in joining at some point in their time, staff serving the poor in the city, all different things. And maybe there are different gifts and skills that people within the church can share, that children can benefit from, maybe something creative or making something as part of a journey. So that's something on that dream. We recognize we want to go deep together in households of faith as a way of pursuing that dream to be a church that children love. And the second one I just want to mention briefly now of the four dreams is the one to be a prayer center for the city. And One Church One Day has been an amazing thing to be part of. It really has been, I don't use that word lightly, it has been an amazing thing to be part of these past few years. And through the pandemic, it's continued and it's actually grown. So when there were those violent protests in Bristol, that kicked off a 30 days of prayer. And I think something like 50 plus churches were involved. And we recognise there's this calling on us as a church here at Hope to be a prayer centre for the city. And again, this whole thing about immersion, this isn't to make a comment on any other churches or anything else, but we recognise that the call on us, as all Christians, but we recognise it at Hope, and this is the kind of church we're building, is we're a church that is all in. We're people that are, you know, passionate about, we're not just interested in doing religion, and I'm sure a lot of that will fall away through the pandemic, but we're people who believe that we've been created by God with a purpose to do good works that will change society, that will bear good fruit. And we recognize as well that this doesn't just come by sort of clicking our fingers and just sort of hoping for the best. But the way that God has designed the world, the way he's set things up, is that we partner with him in prayer. And then we see his purposes and his fruit and his life come around us. So we want to continue to press into this dream to be a prayer center for the city. And I'm looking to build on our monthly One Church, One Day, 24 hours of prayer, looking to build on that regular, we're thinking about at the moment daily, maybe daily hours of prayer, when we could be praying for and worshipping over, singing over, covering the life and the ministry and all the good stuff that people of Hope particularly are doing in and around the city and the towns and villages around Bristol. So we're looking to continue to invest. But just, you know, we've mentioned the story of the Moravians so many times, haven't we? But this small community in Germany started the modern missionary movement. There weren't missionaries going overseas at all before, in the modern sense, before the Moravians had established a place of continual prayer, 24/7 prayer. They prayed for 100 years. John Wesley was converted through the Moravians. Extraordinary fruit that came from these people living lives of immersed. And there's something of that on the call of us at Hope. So we want to continue to press into this dream to be a prayer center for the city. So the other two dreams about being a family for the margins, people on the margins, and being at the heart of the community, obviously still really important that we'll continue to move in those directions. But then I wanted to mention the another lens to look through as we consider Hope, which is this one of Minster. And this is a word that God's been saying to us for the past few years, which really brings together those four dreams. And Rebecca's done this painting, this picture comes out of Ezekiel 47, which describes the river flowing out of the temple. And that river is teeming with life, with fish, with animals. And wherever it flows, things flourish. Trees grow up and plants grow up with fruits and this abundance comes. And this is a great illustration, really, of the kingdom of God, isn't it? And it's what we expect to see as we establish this place of prayer, of worship, as we go deep and are ourselves salt and light and people that carry God's presence to the world around us. This is the expectation that fruit and life come out. And I guess other features of, I won't say much about Minster here because we talked about it elsewhere. I guess in summary, Minsters were the first Christian buildings built in the UK. It wouldn't have been called the UK back then, Celtic times. They were sort of halfway between a monastery or a convent, which is remote and abstract and away from society, and the parish church, which is really sort of hands-on in the guts of daily life. And they were kind of in the middle. And they would have, they would be kind of centres or hubs or resource places for Christians to come to and be sent out as lay missionaries to the region, to quite a wide area. And they'd be, so it'd be a kind of gathering place, an equipping place, a place that would have a rhythm of prayer going on there. There'd be hospitality happening as part of it. And there would be mercy for people who are in need, and there'd be education and training. We thought that describes Hope really well. And we're coming on to talk about Sundays shortly, but I think I'll just mention as well some different types of Minster relationships. And it might be that this sketch here describes how you might relate to Hope Chapel as a Minster. and this kind of ongoing resourcing hub center place of worship and prayer. So when Jesus was dedicated by his parents, they brought him to the temple in Jerusalem. And as he was going in, two people came to meet him. One of them was Anna, and she was a prophetess who lived in the I think she lived in the temple, and day and night she's there praying and fasting. And then there's a man called Simeon, who's sort of Holy Spirit leads him into the temple to meet Jesus. And these are two people who obviously spend a lot of time in prayer, in worship, in hearing God, and they speak, so they recognize who Jesus is, and they're kind of, I don't know, it feels a bit like they're kind of maybe some of the midwives almost ushering in prayer and welcoming in Jesus as the Messiah. And then you have another kind of relationship with the temple or the place of worship, gathering place, and that's King David. So King David's relationship is very different to Anna and to Simeon, but no less important. David was the one who was kind of quite a driving force behind the temple being built. But we presume that as much of his time, he wasn't actually in the temple. He was out in the sort of marketplace more, leading the nation out in the place of politics, you know, leading the nation. And he would come to the temple for significant points of decision-making, worship, prayer, festivals maybe. And it might be that for you, your relationship with Hope is more like King David. You know, you're very much a part of this community, but you're maybe not here quite as often, because your calling is to be fruitful and to be ministering and to be doing stuff in the workplace or in your local community or wherever that is. The goal here is fruitfulness. The goal here is living the purpose, the design that God's given us, rather than the number of hours we'll spend here. And then the third sketch would be Daniel. So I don't know if you know, in the Old Testament, Daniel was alive at a time when the people of Israel had been ripped out of the nation, the land of Israel on the map, and they were in exile in Babylon. And Daniel was way out there. He was miles away from the temple. Couldn't be physically present, but he kept the practice of prayer, the kind of rhythm of prayer that was normal, and he just did it remotely. It makes us think of Lystra Law. You know, she's had to self-isolate for years, really, and unable to be physically present here, but nonetheless connected and following the kind of pattern and working with us as a community. So I want to share those three sketches as ways in which you might relate to the minister and Hope. So coming towards Sundays and where they fit within this tapestry, I just want to start off by mentioning four principles that we think are really important as we consider the shape of Sundays. Actually, we could add a fifth one in here, which was fun. I haven't got that on the bullet points, but we've been talking fun and the kind of laughter and the joy of community. Just recognizing, been pondering that recently as being so important. I reckon Jesus laughed a lot. I can be a bit too serious sometimes, and so I need to remember to have fun. So they're on this list. Hey, priesthood of all believers. So that's a concept we see, and it's been in the New Testament, and it's really recognizing that Alex and I are pastors of the church here. One of the reasons we don't wear dog collars and special outfits, not to speak negatively about those who do, but we do it out of a recognition that actually all of us are equally priests, and there is a calling of leadership on us. But actually we recognize that we're all to minister and pray for each other, and we all have different gifts, and we need those. They don't just manifest on a Sunday when we get together. Right throughout the week, we are living as priests, people who show the life and goodness of God to people. So that's a really key feature, to an ingredient, a principle to keep within our Sunday services, everyone being involved. Second one, multi-generational family. So that's intentionally being all age. In the past, we've just had one service, and one of the reasons for that was we want to keep and recognize the life in keeping all the different ages together, and having that dynamic where you've got young babies and you've got older, you know, older people and people in between. You've got that whole mix alongside the kind of social mix of, I don't know, high earning professionals and people that have just come out of prison. And again, a real social mix, is a real key feature of the kingdom of God and of Hope. Live from God's presence. We had a wonderful time of worship out here on Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock, worshiping outside. It was one of those moments when God's presence is with you, and you see things clearly. Faith rises, and we can pray from a place of in being more aware of God's conscious of God's goodness and seeing things more from His perspective, the place of faith. And it was great just seeing the conversations and stuff that went on after that time of worship, where you could see people praying for each other, encouraging each other, such that the gathering is a place of transformation. It's an encounter with Jesus, and it's a place of transformation and change. It's a place of inspiration and deep encouragement, living from God's presence. And then the fourth point on there, testimony and workplace relevance. So we get so encouraged by hearing each other's stories, and we recognize that the workplace or wherever we live, our community, our home, is really what the Sundays are designed to equip. Sundays are designed to equip the household. They're designed to equip us for the rest of our life and our week. So, if you can think back to kind of February 2020, you might remember how we used to do church in the old days, how we used to do our gatherings. We've got a picture of it here. We've been through quite a few different iterations of things, live streaming and some in-person stuff over the last 18 months. But you can see in this picture here, our sort of structure on a Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, breakfast, smell the toast burning as you walk through the door, welcomed by some warm welcomers and have a nice tea and coffee and a buzz of community being here. And then in our first half, at about 20 minutes, we would celebrate birthdays, share some news, and have a song or two of worship. And then we'd have a little break, and children would go to different groups, and youth go to different groups around the building and over the road and so on. And the adults would remain in the hall, in this space I'm in now, for a time of 20 minutes or so of worship and a talk, and that would be our normal time. And actually, we've thrown all of that up in the air and just said, God, you know, as we've talked about these things I've talked about so far, you know, this is around the purpose, the calling on hope. We're designed, we're called to be an immersive church that where people encounter Jesus and discover who they are and encouraged and inspired to live out who they are in everyday life in such a way that the world will change. And that's for children, that's for people from the margins, that's for everybody. That's what we're all about, isn't it? And so does this Sunday morning, as we've had it, serve that dream, serve those dreams, serve that purpose, serve that vision? That's been the question. And I was quite surprised actually to land on the conclusion, and this is the kind of proposal for where we are at the moment, that actually things don't need to be too dissimilar to what they were back then in terms of our structure. We're intending, if we go on to the next, I'm not sure if Hannah's got on the next slide or not yet, but take us there if we're not already, Hannah. Great, thanks. And so our plan for Sundays after COVID is a similar structure, but a greater sharpness to it. And you'll see here, it doesn't say whether it's in the morning or the afternoon. That's another question we'll come to. But you can see that we've divided it into two more equal-sized halves of 45 minutes each. And the intention with that first 45 minutes, and the intention is that we probably spend quite a lot more time preparing for these times. And we shape them more around purpose and around equipping for life and so on. And so in the first half, we're anticipating everyone being together, children and youth and adults, and having a time when we together pray. We want to teach and coach young people in how to worship. We already have some great times, don't we, of the children hearing God's voice and prophesying over the adults. It's been some wonderful times. But we really want to develop that further and press into that more to chew over some of the, when Charlie was reminding us, we had a good time after the Brexit vote when we were discussing as a whole church, children in here as well, you know, what does the Bible say to us about scenarios like the Brexit vote that we've just had? And we had a good discussions with children and with youth and helping us to together connect with God's heart and process that stuff together. So we want to go, that's the kind of direction we want to develop in our first half. And then in the second half, the second 45 minutes, our plan is that that will be for children and for youth. That'll be more a time of play, actually. So and relationship. Rather than bringing a lot more content, the kind of content stuff happens in the first half. And we're expecting, aren't we, as we described already, to have this parallel household and whole community investment in children, outside of Sundays, which is helping to do this immersive, raise these children of consequence who know how they are and effective in their communities and so on. And so the second half is more around, and we've had some great times over at the school, on the bark area where the play stuff is and on the green playing some sports. And what we recognize is so important, and COVID has shown us, is that children knowing that there are others and having good relationships with other people who are followers of Jesus from other households is so important. And so that's the aim there, is to have probably a space for little gems, the youngest, and then for boost kids, the slightly younger kids, and then for the bounce group, which has been, oh gosh, I can't even remember the school years now, but anyway, the aim is that age group is kind of maybe sort of year two or year three or something around that space. Oh, Hannah's signaling. Year three up, is that actually it doesn't necessarily stop at year six, but can just carry on. And so youth, for example, who are with us on a Sunday morning, can choose either to stay in with the adult space, or they can go and help or just enjoy playing some sport or some games with the children in that second half. That's the intention there. So then with the adults, this second half can be quite flexible. We might try some different things. We've been doing this talk of the week like we're doing right here, right now. Sent it out on a Wednesday as a podcast. Perhaps we'll carry on doing that. And then in the second half on a Sunday, whatever time of day it is, the person who's brought the talk can bring like a little 5-minute recap. And then people can ask questions and we can chew it over. Maybe have some prayer teams praying into some of these different things. And the whole, you know, pursuit here is a sharpening of what we're doing in our times together. So that's a kind of sketch of our gathered times. At some point there'll be hospitality, whether it's coffee and, I don't know, tea cakes or something before or after or during. That's an important part. The aim is it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of laughter. And then we've been having the older youth have been meeting in Sunday evenings recently. And we'll continue to have probably both ages of youth meeting in the evening. So they can come along to the earlier service time as well. We'd love to have that. But if for them it just works to come just in the evenings, then that'll be the space there. So that's our sketch for Sundays. Don't know yet whether afternoon or morning is best, and we'd love to, you know, in time kind of hear that with you from you. What you think is best, and I guess some key things to consider in that question are, who are we looking to serve and minister to? So what works best for them? Some people have talked about it gives them the ability to go away at weekends if we meet in the afternoon, conscious that as it gets into winter time, it gets a bit darker by 4 o'clock. There's some ways it's quite nice. There's a bit of a cost to meeting as a community and coming to worship, but at the same time, we don't want to be silly or fussy about that, or, you know, pharisaical about it, saying it's got to be painful. You know, there's a lot of different questions in there for us to consider. And it might be that maybe in the autumn time, we try out maybe a month of mornings and then a month of afternoons, or try out some different times. But I think that's hopefully given a good outline of what we're all about. Basically, we're just so grateful to be part of this awesome church. We love the community, we love the history, and that there's been so far. But we don't want to hold on to that. You know, we know that the Christian life is not one where you just cruise on the stories of the past. But it's a daily continuing to follow Jesus, isn't it, into the greater works that He has for us. And that there is that I think there's a principle in scripture. And we look at the Bible, there is a thing about increasing from glory to glory. Jesus says that we'll do greater things than He did in John 14:12. And I mentioned the quote from Haggai before about the glory of the latter temple, it says, will be greater than the glory of the former temple. And the goal is that the ceiling that we reach as our generation is the floor of the ceiling, the floor of the generation that comes. We want those to go on and experience more, don't we, than us. And we want to see the city change. We want to see the towns, the villages, the people around us change by the good news of Jesus. So this is about going all in as a church, being immersed and building building for the future. So I'm going to pray now, and we'd love to obviously hear what God's saying to you. Thinking it might be best if we wait until September, when we actually get together in person and talk about and chew this over, like in a church meeting type setting, because it'd be great just to be all together. We've also got the 25th of July is going to be our first kind of gathering all together at Silas and Annie's place. We're going to have some baptisms and picnic, and that'll just be a great time once all the restrictions are lifted then. And really looking forward to that, so do get that in your diary. So Lord, we just want to thank you for the history of hope so far. I want to thank you for the journey. Thank you for the stories. Thank you for the fruit. And we pray that as we move forward through the end of the kind of most intense bit for the UK of COVID and into the lifting of the restrictions, we pray that you lead us, draw us together, show us what the future shape is of hope. We think this is it. And if you've got any tweaks or anything else to say, then please do. We want to see your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we're all about. We give our lives to you. We give ourselves to you. Amen.